1240WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Oh my, shows 3 straight days? What's going on? Yes, we have one. Today, finally, it seems like forever, but finally, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be able to talk with me. We have had multiple conflicts on Wednesdays for about 3 or 4 weeks with me being out of town with the Racers. One of those, I think we were at Eastern Illinois. Next week, it was the early OVC tournament game. Then the girls' Sweet 16, which we knew that was coming. I was going to be off for that. And then going to Rupp Arena last week for the boys' game. So we had all those contests kind of conflicting. But Ed actually will be here. We'll talk with Ed in just a few minutes. But before we do, let's get you caught up with all the things we need to tell you about. Callaway County putting up a 4 spot in the 4th inning. They went on to an 11-1 win over Mayfield at Laker Field in baseball yesterday. Ty Stom and Aaron Rister each driving in 2 runs. Carson Chapman, what a great story he has. Coming back from his bout with leukemia, not just to play baseball and be on a baseball team, he's excelling. He gets another win. He whiffed 5 to pick up the victory for the Lakers. They're now 2-2 heading into Thursday's home game with Ballard Memorial. Tanner Foster smacked a 2-run homer, and Chase Newton struck out 10 for the complete game win as Murray High downed Graves County 4-2 at Ty Holland Stadium. The Tigers now 5-0 heading into Saturday's games at the Big Orange Classic in Draffinville. In other games, Carlisle County, listen to this score, 24-1 over Fulton County. Tillman beat Livingston Central 6-2. Ballard Memorial a 4-2 win over Marshall County. Fulton City a 12-2 victor over Christian Fellowship. Trigg County defeated Crittenden County 7-2. Caldwell County an 11-0 winner over Webster County. In softball, Morgan Turley, you remember her name from basketball? Well, she drove in 2 runs to lead Murray over Caldwell County 6-2 last night in Princeton. The Tigers are 6-1. They play at Christian County tomorrow night. 3-hit games from Paige Kramer and Anna Beth propelled Callaway County to a 12-2 run rule win at Christian Fellowship on Tuesday. Megan Greer drove in 3 runs to aid the Lakers, who are now 5-3 on the season. Callaway County will host Hickman County on Thursday. In other girls' games, Ballard Memorial, a 10-0 winner over Mayfield. Hickman County defeated St. Mary 15-0. Madisonville 9, McCracken County 8. Carlisle County 16, Fulton County 1. Tillman defeated Livingston Central 6-1. Crittenden County a 3-1 winner over Trigg County. In college baseball, Adam Bauer and Jack Rannick each drove in 3 runs as Murray State defeated Memphis 10-6 last night at Reagan Field. Austin Dubski notched the win. He got the W-ski after he pitched, yeah, it's awful, 5 1/3 innings while allowing 3 runs, 3 earned runs, I should say, on 8 hits. The 11-12 Racers are back in OVC action tomorrow. They'll head to Clarksville for a 3-game series with Austin Peay. The Murray State men's golf team lost a massive lead at the Bobby Nichols Intercollegiate, but Preston French rallied past a teammate to claim medalist honors at the event in Sevierville, Tennessee. The Racers lost a 10-shot lead over WKU when they shot a final round 304, while the Hilltoppers fired a 291. The WKU won it with an 876. The Racers finished second at 879. Jared Gosser started the day with a 6-shot lead, but French shot a 71 to finish at 213, while Gosser had a 79 to finish at 215. The Racers stay on the road this week. They'll head to the Spring Break Invitational in Lake Worth, Florida, for an event that begins on Friday. The Murray State women's golf team shot 913. They took 11th place at the Citrus Challenge in Sorrento, Florida. Western Kentucky won the event in a tiebreaker over Elon and James Madison. The Racers' Moa Folk finished at 225, landing in 13th place. Teammate Sydney Trimble placed 28th with a 229. The Racers softball team will continue their 9-game road swing this week with 5 games inside the Commonwealth for spring break. Today at 4, the Racers play at 15th-ranked Kentucky, followed by doubleheaders Friday and Saturday at Eastern Kentucky and Morehead State, respectively. Kentucky currently 26-4 on the year, 5-1 in the SEC. Today's game will air on the SEC Network Plus, which is available on the Watch ESPN app. And the University of Memphis launching an investigation into whether athletic director Tom Bowen and head coach Josh Pastner had a conflict of interest when negotiating Pastner's 2013 contract extension. Bowen and Pastner were allegedly once represented by the same agency, Next Level Sports. University President David Rudd said in a statement Tuesday the school is aware of the accusations and they have retained an outside source to conduct an investigation. The Cardinals in action today. Let's get a report on the Cardinals.
Good morning, everyone. The Cardinals take on the Marlins today at Roger Dean Stadium in Jupiter. It's a 12:05 start, and we'll be on the air at 11:55. Carlos Martinez makes the start for the Redbirds today, his third Grapefruit League start, as he gears up for the regular season. We've seen a lot of Yadier Molina behind the plate recently. Molina returning from his injured left thumb. He had a second surgery. He's swinging the bat, had his first hit the other day, and his timing has improved at the plate. Behind the plate, he is still one of the best. The new pitcher, I had a chance to talk to him, Mike Leake.
I look forward to it. So far, it's been a pretty fun experience getting to know him as a catcher, and it's fun to actually watch from the mound point of view rather than from the side. So it's not every day that you can throw to a Hall of Fame catcher.
Leake is among our guests tonight on the Hot Stove League show at 7. Before that, the Cardinals and the Marlins, a 12:05 first pitch. I'm Tom Ackerman on the Cardinals Radio Network.
All right, thanks a lot, Tom. As promised, Ed Marlowe is my guest. By the way, we'll have that Cardinal game on WNBS today. Ed Marlowe joins me right after this.
See the game in style with Cardinals all-inclusive tickets. All-inclusive tickets for the 2016 season are on sale now and feature some of the best views Busch Stadium has to offer, plus complimentary food and drinks. They start as low as $55, and there are several options to choose from. Check out the UMB Champions Club, Legends Club, Bank of America Club, and more. All-inclusive tickets are on sale now. Get yours today at cardinals.com/all-inclusive.
Welcome back to the program. As promised, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, is my guest. I've been asked, what happened, Ed? Did you get mad at Ed? Do you not like Ed? Well, of course, the answers to those questions, both yes. No, actually, he's not. But you know what? It would have nothing to do with me not liking anyone, because I did shows for years with Ricky Martin and never liked Ricky. So that it would have had nothing to do with it. But in this case, it was scheduling conflicts. I was gone. And finally, Ed, we're able to do a show, and a lot of water has passed under the bridge. Murray State's seasons have come to an end, and not a bad finish when you talk about the Racer women. They get that win against Martin. And the men, I think, probably did all they can do, given the circumstances of their season. You add Culbreth to the injury list. You got Croker injured trying to win that final game against Morehead State. And I think they pretty much did all they could do. They did get the winning season. So not all is lost for the Racers, and I believe they'll rebound big next year. Kind of give me your wrap-up on what you think about Racer basketball.
Well, first of all, Neil, it is good to be back. I do agree with you. You may hate my guts. I simply tolerate your profound existence, but no, I'm just kidding.
That's not true.
I agree. He's just one of those things. His last two or three weeks has been kind of crazy. A lot of stuff going on, but a lot of those things that have happened, is Murray State's basketball season, both the men's and women's, has wrapped up. I thought the women's performance, and that's the first thing that we got to see for March Madness. If you think about it, the OVC tournament is one of those first tournaments for bids into the NCAA, both for the women and the men. And there's a few other tournaments that are coinciding across the United States during that time, but the OVC tournament really does help set the tone for March Madness. And real quick, just a quick shout-out to Dave Luce and Austin Peay. What a show. Never really expected that one. The 8th seed that squeaks in the last day of the regular season makes it all the way to the OVC championship and wins it. But that being said, the women's game between UT Martin and Murray State really set the tone for my visit to Nashville. Got backed up in some traffic, got to that game with the first quarter kind of already started. Murray State was up, I think, 11-4 early. And you're thinking, okay, well, the Racers are off to a good start. UT Martin, of course, did what they do and climbed back into it, but the Racers seemed to answer every single run. And then when Katie Schubert's three was no good at the end of the game, and you look at the scoreboard, the Racers win. And, you know, I think the only tough part about it was is it took every single shot, every single make, every single loose ball, you know, to kind of scramble that second round game. And so when Eastern Kentucky was waiting, you know, that Friday, it was really tough for the Racers to answer. I think they shot 27% from the field. Kishon and James had suffered a little bit of a back injury in the UT Martin game, trying to get an offensive rebound. Ended up being a really big one. And so, you know, just a testament to Coach Rob Cross and his team for really gutting out a tough win. There's no question UT Martin was the best team in the conference this season. Proved it all year, time and again. But the Racers had won some big games this year at SIU Edwardsville. And Coach McMillan had said those things. I wasn't a surprise to him in the very least. As a matter of fact, he felt like Murray State was really right on the cusp of a 4 or 5 seed. And if you go back and you look at the schedule, mm-hmm. you see a couple of the losses, the slim loss to SIU Edwardsville at home, giving up a big lead at Austin Peay. That's 2 more wins, and that would have made them a 4 or 5 seed. So I think McMillan was right. You know, this is a Racer team that certainly, I would say, at least in a 1-year period, really turned things around behind a lot of, you know, some senior depth and some youth, Bria Gullidge, and of course Kishon and James and Jasmine Borders, really, you know, shoring up, you know, some of that, you know, I guess some of that pizzazz that the offense needed, and they really turned it on late in the season. As for the men, it was tough, you know, seeing Croker. When you have that shoot around, basically, that they had against Eastern Illinois, which is what it looked like they had. They, you know, their best offensive performance of the season. They opened the tournament that, you know, with that 62% from the field, I believe, 61-62% from the field.
Right.
You're thinking, I mean, that's the exact performance you need. You know, you're up 33-13 midway through that first half, and Taryn Gilmore continues his crazy 4-minute surge with a turnaround jumper to put them up by that 20 points. Spoonhour takes the timeout. You're thinking, okay, this is a Racer team that's going to stay camped out in Nashville for a little while. Then, you know, you get to the Morehead State game. They've got the lead after the first half. They're a gritty first half. And, you know, Morehead being one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the country, not just in the conference, but in the country. The Racers, one of the best defensive rebounding teams in the country, not just in the conference. And you get to the second half, and you realize that the absence of DeMarcus Croker is really starting to take a toll on the team, and the Racers lose a tough game. You know, Morehead had that late loss, Moon shot from outer space, to be rather poignant about it, and Morehead State moved on. And so it was tough. I mean, you really could see the faces were drained. I think the team still believed, even late in the second half, McMahon's trying to foul and things like that. They were trying to get back into it, but you're right, Neil. Just out of legs, I don't necessarily want to say out of gas. I think Moss gave it everything. Yeah. Bryce Jones really had a great tournament. I thought Wayne did a really good job limiting his turnovers, and, you know, there on the baseline, and had to really battle a lot of double teams and things like that. But there just wasn't enough left. And that's unfortunately, you know, might be the definition of this season. Thought it was a hell of a job to get to 17-14. And really, I think the Racers probably would have had some postseason opportunities somewhere if the legs had been just a little bit healthier. Maybe the Vegas 16, the CBI, maybe even possible that the CIT would have gotten an invitation, you know, would have sent out an invitation, but the health just wasn't there.
Just wasn't. We did enjoy quite a run, though, from both of the Murray High teams. They happened to be the representatives from the first region at the girls and boys Sweet 16. The girls making it all the way to the semifinals, losing to the eventual champion. The Murray boys winning their first game against Buckhorn before losing to Newport Central Catholic. They were just on a roll, but that's always good when, to me, the first region able to take their show to the Sweet 16s and to come away with victory. So a very good showing from this end of the state, Ed.
Well, absolutely. From a girls' standpoint, I definitely kept up with that. I kind of took some of that week off to really kind of recuperate and relax. It's been a long basketball season for sure, a good one, but a very long basketball season covering both the racers and then picking up some high school games. But, you know, the girls' basketball season for Murray was nothing short of spectacular. To make it all the way to the Final Four, lose to the eventual state champion, a very back-and-forth game, two teams that were very qualified to win the state title. I think there was a combined 50 turnovers as both teams just pressed the heck out of each other. Murray was down big and just got back into it with a big monumental run there in the second half to cut it to within two. Butler answered to win the game. But, you know, certainly a credit to head coach Rochelle Turner and their season. They've been fantastic all year. I got a chance to see their run at the All-A State Tournament. And you knew then that this was a team that had a chance to really do some very special things there late in the season. And then for the boys especially, I got a chance. I did go to Rupp. I was there last week and saw their run. And their win against Buckhorn was impressive. It opened, as you may know, you were there calling it. Their game opened up the Sweet 16 tournament, which I thought was kind of a special moment for those guys. Murray hadn't been to the state tournament since 85, hadn't gotten a state win since 1977. And so to open up the tournament with an emphatic victory, slow start, you know, kind of a back-and-forth first quarter, and then Murray really took over there in the second and third quarters. But to get that opening tournament win really set the tone for them. And, I thought they had a really good game plan going into Friday. Newport Central Catholic, of course, very deserving. They hadn't made it to the semifinals since, I think, 1954, 1955. And Ben Wire, the Bellarmine commit, was unbelievable. 5-6-3 there in the quarterfinal round. But, you know, I thought Murray had a really good game plan in their game, and they just couldn't get shots to fall there in the first half. I thought that ended up being the difference in that game. Shoot 23-24%, you know, from the field in the first half. It's going to be really tough to win that way. And Bart Flinger, their coach, you know, said as much after the game. But congrats to both teams, both Murray High teams. Certainly a special season. And I don't think it'll be one that they ever forget, just because the two teams combined. The Murray boys picked up 30 wins. I think the Murray girls ended up finishing with, I believe it was 32, 33. Either way, combined for 60 wins in the season, is something special is going on in that basketball gym. And you know, when you get 60 wins in one season.
Yeah, it was truly amazing to be able to watch that. And Murray's a team, you know, I mean, other schools will have something to say about that on the girls' side, but they return a lot of firepower. Four of their five starters are back, so they would be looking for a repeat, but there will be other schools that will try to have something to say about that. Now we move on to spring sports, and you covered a terrific softball game at Kraken County. I would guess, and I haven't heard anything different, probably the team picked to win the region in softball. They did lose yesterday, but it was to a good Madisonville team. Give us an idea of what the region's looking at with McCracken County this year, Ed.
Well, this is my first year covering softball for the Paducah Sun, so there are a lot of things that I still have to learn. That being said, I don't think it's any surprise that McCracken is a preseason favorite, not only to win the region, but to win the state tournament. They come in as the preseason number one, according to PBR rankings and Kentucky Prep rankings. So it's not a surprise, when three of the top 15 teams in the state, you know, when they conglomerated, you know, 3 years ago, that they would be a powerhouse, and they have been. That being said, Madisonville North Hopkins has kind of been one of those early games that McCracken has had trouble with, and that's thanks to Kaylee Tao and their pitcher, Mallory Payton. They're just really talented, and there's no question that I saw a great game last night. You know, McCracken had an early 4-0 lead. A little bit of wind pushed out a couple home runs for Madisonville North Hopkins to take a 6-4 lead. Then they were up 8-4, and then McCracken with that dramatic rally in the seventh inning, but just couldn't hold on. And so, you know, honestly, it's one of those situations where it's early in the season, and, you know, I'm sure Coach Hayden, Tony Hayden, was trying a few things out. They'll be ready toward the end of the year for any sort of great run that they may have. But, you know, it's McCracken may be favored, and that's easy to say, no doubt. But there are probably two or three teams in the first region that'll be, you know, waiting at the end of the year. I think Murray is one of those teams. Coach Scott Tucker's got a really tough lineup. They hit it really well top to bottom. The only thing that might be tough for them is they're not necessarily as deep pitching as they would like to be. And then you still got Graves County, Marshall County, that are going to be right there in the mix. They're always really good. Both teams are playing pretty well right now. And at the end of the year, I mean, these are the teams that McCracken is going to have to beat to get to the regional championship. It might not be a problem. I know that McCracken opened their regular season with an emphatic 16-4 win over Marshall County, which kind of set the tone that, right, hey, this is what we're going to do to the first region if you stand in our way. And that's tough, you know, knowing that Marshall County's got a decent lineup and they've got some really good players, some talent, got a good pitcher in Gabby Snow. And, you know, when you've got that kind of talent and McCracken kind of rolls over you to start the season, I wouldn't feel very good. But, you know, that being said, that doesn't necessarily mean that these teams are just going to lay down for the regional title. And so, again, these are the teams that I think McCracken is going to have to beat on their way to a first region championship. And we'll see how it goes. You know, I mean, that's the crazy thing. The ball bounces funny ways. It bounced funny ways last night with 25 to 40 mile an hour gusts. You never knew what was going to happen. So I think McCracken just kind of had an off night last night. They played well at the plate. They racked up 15 total hits, 15, 16 hits, but five errors, very uncharacteristic of a McCracken team that's usually really, really, really solid on defense, and then lost by one run. So I think they shore up some of those errors. It's a different game. But, you know, as Tony Hayden said last night, they lost. They woke up tonight. You know, they went to bed at midnight and moving on to the rest of their season. So, I mean, it's one game. That's the beauty of softball and baseball, really, as we get into baseball season, that, you know, one game doesn't really define your season.
Oh, sure.
Until it's a regional championship, you know, or a state championship or a big game in that situation. But during the regular season, one game is hardly an indicator of what's going to happen. So,
baseball-wise, is there a clear-cut favorite, couple of favorites? What do you know about the first region baseball?
I was talking to Mike Stenson about this last night. Again, McCracken County is probably the favorite here in the first region. There will be two or three teams, I think, that really make a punch for that regional title game. I think last night Mike saw a really good game between Marshall County and Ballard Memorial. Ballard Memorial ended up coming away with a 4-2 win. And Ballard Memorial's got a really, really good 1-2 pitching staff with Addison Waldarber and Newton. I think it's Clay Newton, and they're really good for sure. And so it's just one of those situations where pitching is going to take you a long way, and that's the same with softball. But high school baseball is very much how far your pitching is going to take you. And so I still think McCracken, as far as baseball is concerned, is the clear favorite to win the first region. But teams like St. Mary, do believe Murray's out to a 5-0 start after their win last night against Graves County. Coach Swain is doing a really good job down there, and they've got a good senior class to really help propel them right now. But I think if you had to look at the first region as far as baseball is concerned, it could be Callaway. They're late. You know, they put up quite a bit of offense here early starts of the season. You just never know. But right now, I would say McCracken is probably the clear favorite, and then the other three, four teams kind of jockeying for position. It might be Marshall County at the end of the season, but right now, I'd say you're 1-2, probably McCracken and possibly Murray, and then Ballard Memorial is right there in that mix. So you just never know. Again, baseball is one of those wonky sports where, if we remember last year's run, Callaway had a really, really, really tough regular season, never really got into the swing of things, and then right before the district tournament, really picked up some steam, picked up the district championship, and then nearly upset McCracken in the regional championship, ended up losing 3-0. So you just never know.
Before I let you go, The NCAA tournament off again tonight. It will resume Thursday night with games, which, by the way, will air on 1340 WNBS. Shameless plug there. But, Ed, the first day, and I always count the first day. I said this on yesterday's show. The round of 64 is still the kind of the first day, even though I know it starts on Tuesday, Wednesday. But, you know, I was at the hotel room. You and I watched some of the games. They were okay. They were okay on Wednesday, but I was thinking before it all started, this could be a special tournament with all the parity. I was kind of disappointed Thursday, but starting Friday, it went absolutely 100% nuts. It got crazier every day. That Texas A&M win, the Northern Iowa win, and then they didn't have enough mojo to get their win against Texas A&M. Middle Tennessee, it was nuts. Give me your thoughts on the tournament and how it's gone so far.
Well, I've given my diatribe to two or three people, and I'm not that I've made people mad. First of all, I guess I was just really upset with the selection committee. I thought there were four or five teams that were in the NIT that should have been in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. That being said, now Syracuse is in the Sweet 16, but I didn't think Syracuse belonged in the tournament. One of three or four teams that really, Oregon State, pretty much any Pac-12 team outside of your Pac-12 champion, I don't think deserved to be in the tournament, but, you know, maybe I'll get a sternly worded letter from the Pac-12 for my comments if they're listening. But I just, when you go 2-6 in the tournament and you don't really have that strong of a schedule, and then you've got teams like Valpo, St. Mary, the Bonnies, which I know the Bonnies lost in the first round of the NIT, but I think I would too after not, you know, getting snubbed in the tournament. It's just one of those situations. I kind of felt the same way. I looked at this tournament like I looked at last year's tournament. You had these teams. Last year it was the Richmond Spiders. This year I think it was Valpo and Monmouth especially that just were snubbed because they weren't Power 5 teams. So I really had a sour taste in my mouth when the tournament first started. Still did two or three brackets. And, of course, picked the University of Kentucky to be my national champion, and Tom Crean ruined my dreams once again. But, just one of those situations where I kind of really watched the first-round tournament games with scornful eyes because I didn't see the mid-major teams that I thought belonged there. And then all of a sudden, my dreams came true because 10 double-digit seeds made it to the round of 32 thanks to just hard-nosed basketball, just that parity that you were talking about. So the double-digit seeds delivered what everybody thought they could. You had Stephen F. Austin. You had Hawaii. You had South Dakota State give a scare to Maryland. You had Northern Iowa, Jefferson at the buzzer to beat Texas. You know, you had Middle Tennessee wire-to-wire win over one of the number one pick teams to win, if Ricky's listening, sorry, the Spartans. But, you know, to beat Michigan State and Denzel Valentine is just unbelievable. Valentine, for all intents and purposes, had a great game. Michigan State did almost enough to win that game. But when Middle Tennessee shoots that well, and Reggie Upshaw, who we saw at the CFSB Center to start the regular season, you know, puts on a show. Upshaw and Giddy Pot. I told somebody that night, I was like, if I worked at Middle Tennessee, if I was working for a Blue Raider newspaper, my headline would have been Giddy Upshaw. Those two guys were unbelievable in that game. I mean, they just took over. Michigan State had no answer for their inside-outside game. But the opportunity is now gone. Middle Tennessee, of course, losing to Syracuse. Again, the team I didn't think belonged there. Just for their violations and things like that. I understand Syracuse is a power name that sells seats, but, you know, I just, you know, it's kind of like UCLA last year. I really didn't think UCLA belonged in the NCAA tournament, and then they made the Sweet 16. Granted, it was probably one of the easier roads that a team has ever had to make the Sweet 16, and I kind of feel that way about Syracuse. But whatever, they're there. It's a situation, but now in the NCAA tournament, I'm not going to lie, Neil, I'm kind of rooting for a racer-on-racer matchup in the national championship.
That would be awesome.
And mathematically, it is still possible. Both teams in the Sweet 16 on opposite sides of the bracket. I know the road is really tough, but I did pick Texas. My bracket, I'll be honest with you, Neil, two out of three brackets, I picked Austin Peay to beat Kansas.
Whoa.
Just just because I'm crazy and silly.
Yeah.
And it was my way of fighting the bracket. That being said, I picked several of the upsets. I did have Kentucky winning the national championship in all three of my brackets. Maybe that's putting eggs in a basket, and I get that. But I thought the way that Kentucky was playing toward the end of the season was really special. I thought they were going to get some. They had gotten something out of their bigs for the last month, and then against Indiana, they were just neutralized, and that ended up being the difference. I like Kentucky basketball. I thought Tyler Ulis and Jamal Murray were really going to carry that team a little bit further in the tournament. But, you know, that being said, I think Kentucky was underseeded after their SEC championship win. I thought Texas A&M was even underseeded. I thought both teams should have been threes. And I know A&M still ended up being a three, but I thought both of them equally sharing the SEC regular championship should have been some value there. But
you think maybe they ought to go on the road out of conference a couple of times next year? For true road games? Think that might help them?
You're talking about Kentucky?
Yes, Kentucky.
Oh, absolutely.
That might help.
I think that might help. And really, to be honest, I think it's probably the NCAA committee's way of saying, listen, get this Indiana game on the schedule. You got to do it. When you're that close, you know, with each other, when you're in proximity, you've got to get some sort of a – you got to get past this roadblock of neutral and home or something like that, or a neutral site. If Indiana doesn't want to play a neutral site and Kentucky doesn't want to play the home and away, they might be in an impasse, but you've got to find some way to get this game on the schedule. And really, that game lived up to the billing.
Yeah, it was
that
great. It's a great game.
That game was great from start to finish, and unfortunately it was the round of 32. You know, and that's not fair to anybody. And I understand maybe Kentucky was a little underseeded, but, you know, that being said, it was the committee's way of saying, listen, you know, get teams like Indiana on your schedule, and we'll seed you higher, or lower, however you want to look at that, you know, mathematically. But, you know, it just, again, now that the round of 64 and 32 are over, I'm going to see how far Texas A&M can go. I do have A&M in the championship. I thought their defense has been good enough all year to really withstand the tests of an NCAA tournament, and Iowa State is playing their basketball at the right time. Who knows? We might have two former Razor coaches in the national championship, and then there will be this crazy amount of viewership in Callaway County and really all of West Kentucky, and people are, like, television stations are going to have to figure out why. It'll be really simple. If two Razor coaches are in the national championship, it'll be pretty remarkable.
It will be. Well, we'll see if that happens. It's good to have both of them around and playing really well, at least with a good shot of that. Ed, I really appreciate it. Good to get to talk with you again, and hopefully we'll be on a regular schedule for a while now, all right?
Indeed. Thanks, Neil.
Appreciate it. Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun.